cheeks of your ass pressed together and walking tough. Me and the trader went way back. And I knew Marsh Falsen. Him and the trader found them war wags up in the Apse. You know?
I know it.
Well, it'll take us a while before we're snug in the fortress. Tell me about what you're doing.
It's a long story. It'll take time.
Oh, something we got plenty of.
Mildred just kept spitting. At first, the clumps of frothy saliva contained a number of wriggling maggots. Then gradually, it became clearer. Christy had wiped out most of the newly hatched insects, using a corner of rag, then throwing it into the fire, where it hissed and bubbled among the flames.
Well, the wound looks clean.
Get a branch and bring it here. One that's burning brightly.
Certainly, Doctor.
Christy?
Yes, Mildred?
Get the water. This has to be done. Only way to clean it. Then his system has a chance if Ryan can...
Mildred, are you okay?
Fine. I'm fine, thanks. Look, he'll probably struggle. We've got him tied and he's weak, but he'll still struggle. Doc, kneel astride his legs and get ready to hang on. Christy, you'll have to lie on his chest and then try to hold his arms through the coverings.
What are you going to do?
Doc looked at the flaming piece of wood in his hand and at the tin can of bubbling water.
Oh, I see.
It'll leave him with a scar just on the angle of the jaw. Still, it shouldn't be too easy to see, I hope.
Christy touched Mildred gently on the arm.
Mildred, if he lives, I can't see JB losing sleep over a small scar. Can you?
I guess not. You both ready?
Doc was sitting astride the unconscious man's legs, pressing down with all his weight. Christy had braced herself, gripping JB's arms. Mildred was on the floor, trying to position herself in a way to keep the armorer's head between her thighs.
Oh, sorry. Just thinking that if he wasn't out cold, then our dear friend would probably be taking some pleasure in lying like that, Mildred.
Doc?
What?
Shut up and give me the burning pieces of wood. Christy, the water as soon as I call for it. Ready?
Yes.
I suppose.
Good. Now, on three. One, two, three.
Dean had been fast asleep, dreaming of riding on the back of his mother's two-wheeler wag. The big Harley powered over the undulating highway, dust drifting beneath the tires. On either side were a succession of stark red mesas and buttes, sculpted by wind, sun, and frost. His mother, Rona, had known the colorful names of them all, telling which was called Owl Mesa and which Mexican Hat Butte. The boy's sleeping memories carried him on an endless quest, his arms around the woman's waist, face pressed to her back, the scent of sweat and denim mingling in his nostrils with the bitter spice of sagebrush. The roaring of the engine filled his head, the vibrations surging through his wiry body. Now and again he would turn his head to left or right and see the little hogans of the Navajo, hear the hollow sound as they crossed high bridges over silent rapids, ever onward. He never knew how Rona always seemed to manage to find gas for them, but in his dreams they would stop at ramshackle trading posts where smiling men would climb the stairs with his mother. He would sit silently at a corner table until she returned. And they moved on, the highway unrolling in front of them, the powerful bike hugging the thin white center line. It was a dream that came back to the 10-year-old again and again. His mother was always smiling and cheerful before the illness settled on her shoulders and began to draw the life from her. The reality that eventually had reduced her to a trembling skull never intruded. In the dream, the motorcycle seemed to steer itself while Rona sang to him old songs about shady rivers and brave roving men, and tales about the dark figure of his father, a tall, impossibly handsome and courageous man who wore a black patch over his wounded eye. The boy knew that one day his father would come from around an unexpected corner and they would live and laugh together forever. The hand across his mouth jerked him from the sunny, idyllic past into the cold, dark, frightening present.
Quiet.
The breath stank of rotten fish. Dean didn't struggle. The mutie holding him felt immensely strong, and he knew from experience how short fuse their tempers could be. He lay quite still and waited.
Good boy.
Dean could taste the salt warmth of blood where his lips had been crushed against his sharp front teeth.
What do you want?
Quiet. Don't want Captain to hear. Poking black places after me. I be away from him.
Dean sat up, unable to see much in the gloom beyond the broad shoulders of the scaly. The white flash on the beret stood out brightly.
What do you want?
One of the clawed hands touched him on the knee, and the boy's breath froze in his lungs. Rona had warned him about men who would want to do things to him. Awful, hurtful things. And even at 10, Dean had seen and heard enough to know precisely what his mother had meant.
You be good to I, and I good to you. Help you in soft work and big food.
The fingers gripped him, making him gasp. He could just see that food was being served down in the center of the vast, damp, concrete cavern, and he could smell the fish-based stew.
Time to eat?
I be saying when time to eat. You be good to me, and I be good to you. Know what I say?
Yes, I know.
And Dean didn't even have the slim-bladed dagger with the turquoise hilt. At least he might have opened the scaly's throat and then tried to sneak into another part of the complex. The scaly let go of him and shuffled upright, looming over the little boy like a reptilian monolith. One hand leaned against the wall, while the other fumbled with a cord that laced up the front of its trousers.
Be careful, or...
I will! I'd like to do it for you, but there's sort of a difficulty.
The creature's hand paused, already reaching inside his fly.
What difficulty?
The boy managed a tremulous smile, trying to show the right mixture of eagerness and fearful apprehension.
Can't stop biting!
Biting?
Yeah!
Biting what?
The long snout quested toward him, breathing suspicion. Dean was used to lying. Rona had taught him from his earliest memory that you lie to everyone except your closest and most trusted friends. You only lied to them when it suited you.
Sorry, might bite you by mistake and hurt you. I wouldn't want to do that to you.
I be angry.
I said I was...
I be angry. You bite me?
No, of course not. That's the point. I don't want to bite you, but I might if you made me...
I be eating... And you not be eating this day.
The scaly stalked clumsily off. Dean was knocked semi-conscious by the blow, but he'd seen it coming and had managed to ride the worst of the impact. Going without food was no great hardship. A slip of a lad like him could always duck and dive and creepy crawl through the shadows and scavenge something to keep belly and backbone apart. He rubbed his head and lay down again. Sleep returned to him unbidden. This time it wasn't the sunny dreams of happy times with his mother. Now he was in a ville somewhere among the red and gold trees of the northeast, in a spooky house known locally as the Old Jackson Place. A part of his mind knew he'd responded to the challenge of the local slow-witted, brute-eyed louts and spent a night alone in the creaking frame house. He saw nothing worse than a large, vicious bat. But in the dream, it was different. Now there were doors in the house and shutters over unbroken windows. Upstairs, he heard someone walking alone. Dean's feet dragged up a wide, candlelit staircase through quiet dust. Above him, the sound had stopped. Dean lifted his head unwillingly to see a man standing at the head of the stairs, reaching out a hand. The face wore a glittering and cold smile, and one eye was covered by a black leather patch. In the headquarters of the scaly hordes, the boy's lips moved, but nobody was close enough to hear him.
Daddy. Oh, Daddy.
Doc swallowed hard. He could still taste the bitterness of bile, the result of his earlier vomiting, and the cellar, with the door tugged shut, now reeked of scorched flesh. Mildred thrust the burning branch against JB's cheek, grinding it deep into the open sore. The armorer briefly recovered a sort of consciousness. It took all of their combined strength to hold him still while he kicked and threw.